Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I have 3 dogs, 7 cats, 2 parrots, 1 cockatiel, 20 finches, 3 squirrels.
Find out why one South Los Angeles resident's home has started to resemble a zoo. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 22nd, 2012. I'm Benjamin Gottlieb. Coroner's officials release autopsy results today on the death of Whitney Houston. The coroner says her death was caused by accidental drowning, but heart disease and cocaine were contributing factors. Houston was pronounced dead at the Beverly Hilton Hotel last month. She was found submerged in her bathtub. More than 400 airport workers held a demonstration on the sidewalk of LAX today. The workers are part of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. They were protesting the airline's continued use of contractors. SEIU says the contractors are reckless and lower workers' standards. Ernesto Guerrero is an organizing coordinator for SEIU.
We're here today to send a strong message to all the airlines and the contractors that workers at LAX deserve respect. They deserve their basic rights and things for make a living.
Aviation Safeguard is one of the companies accused of undermining union standards. The company employs 450 workers at LAX. They push wheelchairs, handle baggage, watch and guard doors, and monitor checkpoints. Aviation Safeguard employees terminated their contract with SEIU this past December. Now they're paid under LA's living wage ordinance. Joe Colon, the regional vice president of Aviation Safeguard, says his employees were happy to walk away from their contract.
They made a choice, and they had an option. And as I said in our statement, 93% of them received increases. They're very happy with what they do. And what you're hearing is not reflective of our employees. It may be others, but it's not Aviation Safeguard's employees.
SEIU contends that Aviation Safeguard's key clients have made record profits this year and that workers aren't seeing enough benefit from that success. A Los Angeles judge today ordered City Attorney Carmen Trutanich to prove why he should be allowed to describe himself as the chief criminal prosecutor. District Attorney candidate Alan J. Jackson filed a lawsuit against Trutanich, who is also running for DA. Jackson alleges that Trutanich personally prosecutes cases, so he can't call himself the chief criminal prosecutor. There will be a hearing on April 11th, 5 days before the deadline for printing ballots for the June 5th primary. Medical marijuana dispensary workers today announced plans to unionize. As Madeline Lindsay reports, they hope to legitimize medicinal pot as a new sector in the healthcare industry.
Workers from 14 medical marijuana dispensaries in Los Angeles today joined the ranks of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. The UFCW represents 1.3 million people who work in grocery, food, pharmacy, and healthcare. The union is adding a new unit called the Cannabis and Hemp Workers Division. Leaders of Local 770 say this is just the beginning. Local 770 Ricky Kaza praised the decision as a major victory for the healthcare industry. The union hopes to add workers in as many as 200 more dispensaries. Madeline Lindsay, Annenberg Radio News.
Community members and business owners gathered today in support of Walmart's plan to move into Chinatown this summer. Esther Kang has the story.
4 weeks ago, Walmart announced its plans to open a store this summer in Chinatown, LA. Since then, many residents, small business owners, and city officials have voiced strong opinions against the move. But today, a group of people gathered to support the store. They say Walmart will help residents and small mom-and-pop shops, while opponents maintain it will drive them out of business. Nikki Ng is the executive director at the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. She said Walmart's presence would generate much-needed foot traffic in the quiet community.
If anyone has been into Chinatown lately or recently or within the last couple of years, you've seen that the amount of visitors coming in has dropped dramatically. It's not as vibrant as it used to be from many years ago, and having a Walmart will increase more visitors into Chinatown.
But Bing Wong, a longtime employee at Chinatown's BJ Market, is worried the increased foot traffic would exacerbate Chinatown's parking situation.
No good for us, business, yeah, because now Chinatown is a lot too much people, and the parking is a lot of good, so really difficult, the business.
Chinatown currently has 2 full-service grocery stores, in addition to 15 to 20 neighborhood markets like Wong's BJ Market. James Elmendorf is the deputy director of the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy.
And if Walmart comes in, undercuts them by having cut-rate wages and cut-rate prices just to drive them out of business, we will see a loss of important institutions in Chinatown.
This Friday, city council members will vote on a proposal that would block chain businesses like Walmart from opening in Chinatown. Esther King, Annenberg Radio News.
Two former top executives of the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum were arrested today on charges of mismanaging money. Former general manager Patrick Lynch and former events manager Todd DeStefano were reportedly named in a grand jury indictment. Last month, the Coliseum Commission filed a lawsuit against the pair, claiming they diverted money for personal use. City Councilman Bernard Parks believes they stole over $1 million. Both men resigned from their positions last year. Dozens of city housing residents protested outside the downtown headquarters of LA's Housing Authority today. As Heather Ritchie reports, they're upset over trash fees.
We don't have cash for that trash! We don't have cash for that trash!
LA City housing residents chanted and held colorful signs saying paying for trash is garbage. They were protesting outside the Housing Authority's downtown LA building. The residents have been billed for garbage pickup since 1983, even though the city was supposed to be paying for it. Karina Torres has lived in public housing for 3 years and says her lease stated that the agency would pay for the trash fee, not her. Paying this fee has forced Torres into rough money situations.
It's hard because I'm a single mother. If the charge of the trash would move from my rent, I will be able to, you know, buy something for my son.
According to Torres, her rent was about $24 higher than it should have been. Enrique Mello, a house inspector for the Housing Authority of Los Angeles, thinks it's the city's fault for not following the lease guidelines. The residents have teamed up with organizations like People Organize for Westside to get their money refunded. Residents say the money that should be refunded is about $15 million. HECLA released a statement Wednesday and is refusing to refund the money. So, residents filed a lawsuit against it yesterday. Bill Perzlucky is an organizer for People Organize for Westside. He thinks this lawsuit is costing a lot more money than it needs to.
They can either choose to negotiate with us now, in good faith, or they could choose to try to fight this, drag it out for a year or two, waste a lot of money on legal fees.
Residents at the protest say they don't expect their money back quickly, but they do eventually want it back.
The faster we win that money, the faster that money can go into local communities.
Residents think they're going to win the case, but now they're just waiting for HACLA to respond in the lawsuit. Heather Ritchie, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. You can expect clear skies tonight with lows hovering around the 50s downtown. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with highs in the low 60s and an overnight low of 47. Saturday should be a beauty with an afternoon high of 65, but look out, rain will be moving in on Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear from Shauna Redman about the social implications of the Trayvon Martin tragedy. If you're a hungry cat searching for a late-night snack in South Los Angeles, there's no better place than Dinah Cabrera's Backyard Grill, offering beef, chicken, and fish, all served on a silver platter. Literally. Conrad Wilton has more.
Come on, Harley.
That South LA resident Dinah Cabrera feeding salmon to stray cats that have wandered into her backyard. But don't worry, she caters to all animals.
I have three dogs, seven cats, two parrots, one cockatiel, 20 finches, three squirrels, and I'm not counting all the wild doves and wild finches I feed every day.
You're like the Snow White of the community.
Cabrera manages to provide food, medical care, and love to all of her pets, and she still finds a way to work full-time as a legal secretary and raise her three-year-old daughter, Sophie, who, like her mother, loves the animals around her.
Sophie, who's your favorite animal here? Who do you like the most?
Mimi.
Mimi? Mimi is a?
Baby.
Yeah,
Mimi is not exactly the baby of the family. She's a 16-year-old chihuahua and holds two records, one for the oldest animal in the Cabrera household and the other for the animal bringing in the highest vet bills.
Sometimes it's hard because there are so many and the bills can really get pretty high.
Cabrera has opened her home to stray animals to combat the rising rate of pet overpopulation in the city of Los Angeles. L.A. County Animal Control Officer C. Green has been rounding up stray animals in South L.A. for over 13 years. He says pet overpopulation is out of control because many pet owners fail to spay and neuter their animals.
Some people just don't come in, even if we spay and neuter for free.
The Los Angeles City Council passed a law in 2008 that requires all pet owners to spay and neuter their animals. Although many people simply ignore the mandate, Green says it is enforceable. But Cabrera says regardless of the law, there are some South LA pet owners who will never spay or neuter their animals because of a negative cultural stigma.
The Hispanics that I've encountered, and being Hispanic myself, don't want to spay or neuter their animals because they think it's cruel. And I always tell them that's the first thing that needs to be done.
But spaying and neutering operations are only part of the solution. In the city of Los Angeles, pet owners are only legally allowed to house three animals. But according to Officer Green, many South LA residents have several dogs to combat crime.
If you go into the kind of rough neighborhoods, you'll see people with four, five, six dogs. And that's where the problem comes in at.
According to Green, many animal shelters and volunteer agencies are currently boosting their efforts to educate Los Angeles pet owners about pet care and overpopulation. As of now, there is no government legislation on the table to curb pet overpopulation in South LA, but animal lovers like Dina Cabrera believe this is a top priority. Conrad Wilton, Annenberg Radio News.
Today is the 19th anniversary of the United Nations World Water Day. Today, Los Angeles activists asked officials to protect an everyday resource, tap water. Rosalie Murphy reports from the campaign launch.
Tap water doesn't always get a lot of love, even on World Water Day. In 2009, Americans spent almost $15 billion on bottles of water. But the Public Water Works campaign launched its Los Angeles chapter today at City Hall, calling for people to revisit their faucets, which means cities and states need to clean them up. Emily Ruman, a campaign leader, organized this morning's news conference.
Here in Los Angeles and across the country, we're really seeing a groundswell of support. We've had 1,000 people sign on to the campaign, over 30 mayors have signed on, local organizations across the country. And so it's clear that people are really calling for the tap. People want support for their tap water. And that's why today we're out here helping to call on our public officials to reinvest in our tap water.
Santa Monica's mayor is one of those who signed on. Ruman and her team plan to start discussions with LA City Council members this month. Ruman says updating local infrastructure can be as simple as tightening leaky pipes. A representative of State Assemblymember Betsy Butler says improving LA's water recycling system would also make the city less dependent on water from other states. Plus, better taps keep water bottles out of trash cans. Here's Faber Duar, the founder of water filtration company, Drink Up.
I see this as a good choice to rid the country of the 30 billion plastic bottles that go to landfill every year. And it's also legislation. We do need to make the government aware that this is an essential service they have to provide. It's an inalienable human right, and we need to update the water system because it's old. The infrastructure is old.
It's even a faith issue, says Reverend Susan Stouffer, director of the Peace Center at United University Church.
240,000 water main breaks every day. That's 16% of our total use of water around the country. That is enough water to supply the 10 largest cities in the U.S. for a day. We're told to share food and drink with those who are in need.
And to do that, Public Water Works says we're going to have to start relying on this. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
Civil rights activists will gather shortly in Leimert Park to protest the shooting of an unarmed black teenager in Florida by a neighborhood watch captain. Trayvon Martin was killed last month by George Zimmerman, who claims he was acting in self-defense when he shot the teenager. Zimmerman has not been arrested or charged in what civil rights groups call an unprovoked shooting. Today, Sanford's police chief announced he will temporarily step down. I spoke with American Studies and Ethnicity professor Shanna Redman about what tragedies like Trayvon Martin's death do to the psyche of Americans' minority youth.
It's absolutely damaging. I mean, to walk around and to not feel as though you are truly living within a space, truly accepted within a place, feel as though you're being watched. that's a certain type of violence and torture that people of color, in particular men, have to face in these scenarios that absolutely has to be addressed.
And so how does this play out in the public space exactly?
I do think that some people are very, very cautious when they're out in public, in the public sphere, when they go out into public spaces with family, friends, and especially when they're alone. But I think some people react absolutely differently. They react by being that much more verbose, that much more loud, that much more kind of bright in their actions, in their gestures, in their engagements with strangers as a way of actually trying to make fun of the types of stereotypes that they know they have to confront on a daily basis. I have never encountered an individual who was unaware of those conditions. And so this is something that people regularly deal with. This is kind of the quotidian existence for black and brown peoples in the United States.
Now, of course, moving forward in this case, Mr. Zimmerman claims that he was acting in self-defense. Now, Professor, what do you see happening as this case plays out?
I'm not certain. I'm trying to be optimistic because I do think, as I mentioned earlier, the mobilizations that have happened within public discourse as well as on the ground in that community around this case can actually open up quite a bit of pressure and scrutiny on this case that could do it a lot of good. I believe in the power of social movements, and there's a real potential here, similar to the Gina Six case in Louisiana a few years ago. There's a real opportunity here to critique the criminal, quote-unquote, justice system and to move forward a better alternative while still seeking justice for this man who was murdered in his neighborhood.
That was Shana Redman, a USC professor of American Studies and Ethnicity. This week marks the start of spring, but you might not know that it also kicks off the Spring Kindness Campaign. We ask people to share experiences about random acts of kindness they have encountered.
It makes me happy seeing other people happy.
I was at Burger King like a few weeks ago, and there was this guy, and he had all...
One second, having some technical difficulties.